You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more.
Tommy, a really good Friday night for the Edmonton Oilers, dominating again. And then last night, they let the Kings control the game really from start to finish, outside of maybe that flurry in the last 5 minutes of the second period where Quick had his glove off and Yamamoto hit the crossbar. I'm not sure Edmonton was really that close to being in the game.
No, and that's a good way to put it. And the first thing that popped into my mind watching them was, where's that physical play in the offensive zone? Why is that MIA? And that could be an issue. And sure enough, a few minutes into the first period, you see the one misplay. Duncan Keith puts it off the back of the ref. Puck plops down in the corner. Kings wrangle it. They take it to the net. Yes, Evan Bouchard might have missed his check on Moore. And it's 1-0. And then unfortunate play on the redirection on the second goal. The Stetcher one off of Duncan Keith's stick. Perfect tip right between the pads of Mike Smith. And then it never seemed like Edmonton could get the momentum the way it did in games two and three. And the thing that just resonated with me most, guys, was that they weren't putting the pucks into the right areas of the offensive zone, something we talked about a lot going into game two and three, and then laying the body on the Kings defenseman. It just felt like they didn't have a lot of zone time. They didn't get the cycle game going as much as they did in the previous two games. And quite frankly, guys, LA was more desperate. You expected them to be. They were. And they got a good win. And the Kings are not going down without a fight. Now the Oilers have to step up their desperation level.
You think Jonathan Quick had his best game of the series?
He's good in game one, too, Struds. But, yeah, I think he made some pretty key saves. Greg's talked about that one without the glove. That was an interesting sequence, a little bit of luck there. And, yeah, you mix that in with some solid defensive play. I think games one and four for Quick were by far his best, obviously. And with the shutout and becoming the shutouts leader among American-born goaltenders with that one. Yeah, fair to say to give him that one as his best game.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. And, the Oilers, also the game, they generated the least quality chances. So I think that that's something to be very aware of. I think they've shown, with 17 goals in the first three games, that's not stories. 13 goals on Jonathan Quick in the first 2.5 games because he got yanked in one of them. I think they've shown they know how to beat him. They just got to continue to get more quality chances on him. If Derek Ryan can't go, do you keep Broussard in or do you put Devin Shore in?
This kind of popped up on the post-game show last night, and I was wondering what Broussard really did. He was a non-factor. He had three hits. When he did get his touches with the puck, didn't do much with them in the 8 minutes he played. I think Devin Shore, his versatility, does he bring more of an offensive spark? Maybe. You can make an argument for no, but if you want to throw a different look in and you think that Shore complements a certain line or a certain role better than what Broussard has brought to the table, then yeah, I'm not opposed to it, guys, honestly. I think every time Devin Shore has gotten a chance to play, especially in the latter parts of the season, he's at least looked effective and been somewhat noticeable. Whereas yesterday, Broussard, whenever he got a hold of the puck, it was like, I don't know what's going to happen with this. And most times it was a nothing play.
It's hard. The pace is hard. Like, you're jumping in on a team that's coming at you hard, and the Oilers weren't exactly pushing back, right? So for him to come in and to play that, I think that's a difficult position. And I hear it. Like, I think the conversation of changing that third line makes sense. Archibald, okay, if you want to have him there, no problem. He played pretty well in his time. So who else goes up there? You know, it's probably pretty hard. If you move McLeod up there, that makes sure your fourth line center. You know, is that a guy you want to look at? If you move up Cassian, you bump him over to the other side, does that fourth line get a little too small? So, I don't know. I mean, I think I like the option of bringing Shore in and either putting him there or moving McLeod up and getting him a little more time up there with some players that can play.
Yeah, McLeod's looked good, guys, in these games. I mean, confidence with the puck, he's moving it. I'd like to see him attack the net, but that's nothing that hasn't changed over the course of the year. Like, he handles a puck well. There's a good confidence with him lugging it from his own zone into the offensive zone. It's just when he gets to the offensive zone, although he does have a goal in the series, he has gotten a couple shots off, but I think he's getting closer and closer to being a guy that might be able to chip in more offensively. So it to me, it doesn't strike me as a situation where they need to make a ton of tweaks or really jumble up the bottom two lines. It's just firing everybody up and getting them on the same page in terms of providing a level of grit and determination and hustle and no shifts off to get them back to the mindset that they had when they had the wins in this series.
Tom Gazzola joins us tonight with Sports Leader TSN 1260. We have a lot of people text in that, you know what, they don't want Canadian teams to win. I don't buy into that. But on that note, Tom, I wanted to get your thoughts on what former Edmonton Trapper, who is currently the hitting coach for the UNARC Mets, suggesting that MLB is using a different baseball for nationally televised games. Do you agree?
I want to believe Eric Chavez. I mean, he was a good Trapper. He was a good Oakland A for a long time. And now he's, like you said, the Mets hitting coach. And he talked about it. In the media, he said that his players came to him and said, watch when we play the Phillies on Sunday and how well the ball will fly. And sure enough, just the eye test, he said, the ball was flying. It was not getting hit as hard as it normally would, and it was taking off. And then he said he went to the analytics guys, and the numbers from the analytics crew from the Mets supported what he was seeing with his own eyes during that Sunday night game between the Mets and the Phillies. And so his natural instinct was to say, you guys are full of it, to his players. He didn't believe them, but apparently these balls on these national televised games are popping and have a little more juice. And this is not something that is new to the discussion around baseball lately. And sometimes we're hearing about deadened baseballs, and then other times we're hearing about juiced baseballs. And sometimes it's the pitchers complaining. Sometimes it's the hitters complaining. But, man, if this is ongoing for more than 1 year, and, you know, I know the MLB took over. I think it's the Rawlings company that made the baseballs, and they want to engineer the ball a certain way and have multiple options for baseballs and sneakily put them into specific games like a nationally televised ESPN game where you get a juiced ball, because then people are like, hey, are you watching this game? Mets and Phillies, there's like 9 home runs in it and it's only the 6th inning. You know, it might get more people to watch because we all love offense. So the way Eric Chavez presents it in this interview that he did is logical. He goes, I told my guys I don't believe him. I'm paraphrasing here. And then he watched, and he's like, geez, the ball is flying. Maybe it was in his head that he was thinking about subconsciously. But then he says the numbers back it up. And, boys, we all know that baseball, especially with the baseballs, the sport of baseball with its actual balls of late, has been a lightning rod of controversy, and this just adds to it. So, man, where there's smoke, there's usually fire. And maybe Eric Chavez is onto something. I'm just, when I saw the headline, I was like, oh boy, here we go again. And you know what? I don't mind it. I like offense in baseball. I like when the ball's flying a million miles an hour into the outfield and out of play. I love home runs. I love offense. So baseball's got to figure this out, and it's always mired in controversy. I don't know how you guys feel about it. Like, am I crazy for just wanting to see offense and I don't care that they fly out of the park at record levels?
I just want consistency. That's really all I believe. I mean, when I played in the NHL, I had people tell me that they thought that the league had it out against this team, or they wanted this team to win, or they wanted to promote this player or push this player down. And I mean, I'm sure there's always biases, right? Did we all you know, keep inside ourselves? And maybe if you're reffing a game or if you're at the league office, you may, you know, unknowingly or, you know, subconsciously, you know, push someone up or push someone down. But I just have a hard time believing that an entire league could you know, like who is the person behind the juice balls? Is it at the very top? And then he has to tell his buddy. Then he tells his buddy. Like, it just the telephone game goes on, and then all of a sudden there's so many people that know it. How does it not come out? I don't know. I just have a hard time. I never felt once in the NHL we were being pushed up or pushed down. So, you know, is there juice pucks, or is there, you know, refs calling too many penalties on one side versus the other? Like, what was it last night? Tampa had nine power plays, and Toronto only had four. So are they trying to, you know, get Tampa back to make it even, to make it exciting, so you get more? So now you have two more games, hopefully, in Toronto to make money, to get eyes on the thing, to help Sportsnet. I guess it's possible. But is it also maybe possible that just Toronto wasn't ready to play? They got scored on, what, three times in the first, I don't know, like 6-7 minutes, and two of them were against fourth liners? Like, I don't know. I have a hard time with the conspiracy theories in sports.
It just won't go away in baseball, though, Strudy. That's the thing, is, like, this sport and this situation with baseballs, where it's just like, man, they can't get it to go away. And you got to think that there's something peculiar going on. And the league has said, well, you know, we took over the company, we've tried some things with baseballs, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, Sunday Night Baseball's popping off every weekend. Why is that?
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know. I mean, so what other conspiracies have there been? Like the steroids? Would that be?
Well, steroids wasn't really a conspiracy. I think that was proven.
But that's what I'm saying. But yeah. Before it was. Was that instigated by the league? You know, did then commissioner say, hey, we got to get these guys hitting home runs, so let's make them have steroids? Or did players see a soft spot in the testing and decided they were going to do it? Or maybe that was a conspiracy that the league created a soft spot in the testing so the players could get by and not be tested for steroids. Like, I don't know. Like, so, you know, what other, like the conspiracy of the cheating in Houston? Did the league close their eyes on that when these guys are banging the drum and they wanted to have a winner in Texas? Like, that's the problem. Like, I don't know. I just think conspiracy theories, at least let's stick to sports, at least, are so hard to manage. And people are so competitive that if they see something amiss, wouldn't they be piping up like other players or other managers?
Oh, yeah. No, the big one is, you know, the NHL doesn't, Canadian fan, oh, the NHL doesn't want the Canadian teams to win. And I'm like, so they let them get to the Stanley Cup final this many times. And then they just pull the rug out from them. Like, you have to show examples of how it happens. I've never really seen it in sport. Like, how would you get the Canadian teams on board for that? Right? Like, are you honestly? Like, give me a break. I don't think it happens. So we'll see. Tommy, get some rest. Big game tomorrow night's extra pre and post game coverage for Tommy Gazzola as the Oilers try to go up 3-2 tomorrow against the Kings.
Boys, it's going to be a big one tomorrow. Ciao for now.